For years, many Israelis have looked to Donald Trump with admiration. They've regarded the U.S. president as their country's ultimate defender. But attitudes are shifting. As Washington negotiates a framework for peace with Iran, Shoshana Solomon and Dina Kraft report today, many Israelis accuse Mr. Trump of bending a knee to their greatest adversary. We've got the rest of the world for you, too. The daughter of perhaps Peru's most controversial former leader is poised to become president. On the eve of America's 250th anniversary, an algae bloom in the national reflecting pool has, like many things, turned political. And on soccer pitches across North America, African players are giving the African diaspora a special connection to the World Cup. An editor's note, we won't be publishing a daily on Friday, July 3rd, the federal holiday in observance of the 4th. Watch for a special send at the regular time on Saturday, the 4th, and for your regular daily to resume on Monday. It's Thursday, July 2nd. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Chris Sherman. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. The U.S. and Iran returned to the negotiation table. Officials from the United States and Iran were in Doha, the capital of Qatar, on Wednesday to restart indirect talks about reopening the Strait of Hormuz and establishing a longer-term ceasefire in the Middle East. The negotiations are being held under the auspices of a 14-point Memorandum of Understanding signed by the U.S. and Iranian presidents, which sets a 60-day deadline for working through outstanding issues, including Iran's nuclear program. The Federal Reserve's chair signaled a focus on fighting inflation. During remarks at a central bank conference in Sintra, Portugal, Kevin Warsh stated that the Federal Reserve is going to deliver price stability. That's a shift from an op-ed Mr. Warsh wrote last year prior to becoming Fed chair, in which he favored lowering interest rates. President Donald Trump, who nominated Mr. Warsh, has repeatedly called for lower interest rates, but Mr. Warsh underscored that the central bank remains independent. His remarks follow the Supreme Court's ruling on Monday that President Trump cannot fire Lisa Cook, a member of the Fed's Board of Governors. Also, President Trump's wealth has surged on cryptocurrency. A required disclosure of personal finances released Tuesday showed more than $1 billion in revenue from Trump family cryptocurrency ventures. That comes alongside President Trump's earnings from his real estate business and other investments. Some analysts say it's a sign of how digital currency has become mainstream. Critics argue that political power is being used for self-enrichment and that it's another sign of the need for more regulation. The crypto legislation heading to the Senate floor must prevent the president, vice president, senior administration officials, members of Congress, and their families from profiting off the crypto industry, Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts argued in a statement following the disclosure. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Israeli attitudes toward U.S. President Donald Trump, once seen as the nation's savior, have shifted dramatically. The initial U.S.-Iran ceasefire deal is already seen as a blow to Israel's strategy and standing, and the backlash on the Israeli right has been harsh. Shoshana Solomon and Dina Kraft report from Tel Aviv, Israel, and Washington for The Monitor. As a peace builder, President Donald Trump has typically been short on the details of diplomacy and lofty with his stated goals. But with Lebanon and Israel, his administration is taking a more traditional approach to U.S. policy. Columnist Ned Temko writes from London for The Monitor. Voters in Peru picked Keiko Fujimori as their next president, but the historically close election in a deeply divided nation will give her a limited mandate. The legacy of her father, former President Alberto Fujimori, will also cast a shadow when she takes office later this month. Contributor Simeon Tagle reports from Lima, Peru for The Monitor. As the nation prepares to celebrate its 250th anniversary, a major topic in Washington isn't the meaning of democracy, but a shallow pool of water. Views on the reflecting pool, like many things these days, are shaped by politics. Linda Feldman reports from Washington for The Monitor. Africa sent 10 teams to this year's World Cup, and 9 advanced to the knockout stage. The continent's impressive run is inspiring international fans, especially people of African descent in the United States and elsewhere. Columnist Ken Makin writes for The Monitor. Manyangas, as customized matatus are known, are often dismissed as chaotic, noisy transport. But behind the blasting music and flashing lights lies one of Africa's most original creative movements, a moving gallery reflecting the pulse of Kenyan society. Contributor Diego Menjivar Rene reports from Nairobi, Kenya for The Monitor. To view this photo essay in full, visit csmonitor.com/daily. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on living better, not just longer. In an era of information overload, genuinely fresh news and concepts can occasionally get obscured by the slop. But eventually, thought-expanding data and perspectives rise to the surface and into wider public attention. This appears to be the case with a Yale University study on aging in America published in an academic journal in early March. The findings of Aging Redefined, now being reported in mainstream media, defy, and can help redefine, long-held and limiting views about the United States' older demographic. Collecting data on some 11,000 participants over a 12-year period, the researchers found that nearly half of American adults age 65 or older became physically stronger, mentally more acute, or both. If this finding was extrapolated to the entire U.S. population, it would suggest that more than 26 million older persons are experiencing such improvement, the study's authors noted. A key contributing factor to these enhanced abilities? An outlook that counters traditional age beliefs, the ingrained attitudes or theories that equate growing older with growing less capable. Those who held positive expectations of themselves and what future years might bring showed better life outcomes. Most people are thinking about aging all wrong, is how Washington Post columnist Lena S. Wen put it this week, referring to the study. People need to know that improvement in later life is a common experience. Changing attitudes will be challenging, Dr. Wen acknowledged, but is essential for improving the well-being of ordinary Americans. Becca Levy, one of the study's two main authors, has previously noted that age stereotypes are absorbed from culture, such as advertisements and social media. By the same token, new information and messaging can help modify or entirely erase such limiting perceptions. And in societies where the share of older citizens is expanding, breaking out of ageist modes of thought is a boon to communities and multi-generational individuals who have much to give and to gain from each other. There is a need to redefine aging so that it includes the possibility of improvement, Dr. Levy and her co-author wrote. As the Yale University News Service reported, the authors hope their findings will reverse the popular perception that continuous decline is inevitable. More than a century ago, the founder of the Monitor, Mary Baker Eddy, encouraged a similar shift in thought. Instead of measuring or outlining life and its possibilities by solar years, she urged, "Let us then shape our views of existence into loveliness, freshness, and continuity, rather than into age and blight." The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how God is divine, ever-present love, and so his healing and saving grace is available to everyone at all times. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Kalena Anakwa, Mackenzie Farkas, and Tim Malone.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, United States of America. Copyright 2026.